You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
April the 29th, 2020, the nation is on the edge of a severe shortage when it comes to meat, pork, poultry. And today the president's talking about signing an executive order using his authority to declare meat processing plants as critical infrastructure and put them back to work. That'll be his authority under the Defense Production Act. We've already seen many of these plants close down because COVID-19 spreading through their facilities and trying to deal with their workers, how to keep them operating and yet safe and also protect the product that goes out. The president said we've been working with Tyson Foods to solve the issues the companies are facing for them, their workers, and the nation. He said we hope to have it solved. But some meat workers are already gathering together and saying we will not go back to work anyway. And then in California, there's a class action lawsuit. Costco, Trader Joe's, Walmart, Kroger, just a few of the retailers accused of, quote, the despicable and illegal practice of price gouging of essential groceries. This lawsuit claiming that they've been gouging the price of eggs in California. Well, the latest numbers are out on the economy. They're not good. Way above the estimation. We expected a contraction of the government spending and a GDP, gross domestic product, of maybe 3.7%. It came in more than a percent higher, 4.8% in the first 3 months of the quarter. Consumer spending fell deeper than they expected, plunging from what they estimated, maybe 1.5% down, plunging to 7.6%. Consumers pulling back on spending even before they had the official orders in place. Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas says any future coronavirus legislation should also include measures to counteract and reduce America's dependence on China. He said, I want to include in my legislation that would help bring pharmaceutical manufacturing back for China, do it as rapidly as possible. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer is already looking forward to the next coronavirus bill. And he says, oh, yeah, on that, we're going to make sure, I want to make sure, I'm not going to take this off the table. We need more green. We want more green money for the infrastructure and everything else. They are sticking to the game book of the Democrats. Never let a crisis go to waste. You got a chance here to push for more progressive issues for our nation, get rid of fossil fuels, shut down the cars, take all the cows and be done with them. Just dawned on me. I'm sure that as AOC heard these stories about ranchers having to euthanize cattle, that she's got to feel very good because they don't have a market to take them to. They can't get them to the meat processing plants. The plants aren't working in many cases. They can't continue feeding them, so they euthanize them. And, of course, AOC said we should get rid of cows because they're harming our ozone level because they fart methane gas. She's right about they do, but solution. Nope, that's another green dream idea. Joe Biden is saying illegal aliens that we have come into our country, we should not send them back to their other countries. We should just keep them here. He said exactly that. If they come across here, well, we don't send them back. We're helping spread the virus. Well, if they had the virus, I don't want them coming into this country. And in the meantime, the State Department has said we have helped more than 71,000 Americans stranded in 127 countries around the globe. We've helped 71,000 Americans come home. That's good. As we begin to see states reopen, a lot of focus on Georgia. and is projected to see its daily COVID-19 deaths nearly double, according to one model. We will wait and see. And for those questioning, can my pet get the virus? Yes. In North Carolina, they were testing members of a family. Only the daughter had it, but they also decided to take a swab from the pug. And the pet also tested positive for the disease. So, yes, your pets can get it. Now you're going to have a lot more folks concerned. They didn't worry if it came from Uncle Tom or something else like that, but, I mean, Uncle Joe, any whatever. But the pet? Oh, now I'm concerned about the virus.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
COVID-19 is a new health concern, but Wellington Environmental has 30 years' experience to make your company and environment safe. Wellington Environmental can give you peace of mind, and the cost is very reasonable. These days, you can't take a chance that customers, employees, your family would be exposed to COVID-19. You have to be proactive. That starts by calling Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. You'll quickly see why customers have relied on Wellington Environmental for decades. COVID-19 can survive for hours on your furniture, your computers, your equipment, and every time someone touches that surface, they could be exposed. You don't want that liability. Call Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest, best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Joe Biden has been preparing for this moment his entire life. I've been privileged to work with him over the last 25 plus years.
That, of course, the voice, as you recognized, of Hillary Clinton would be president. But nope, not when she faced Trump. So she had to take a back seat. She's still been trying to make herself relevant every opportunity she gets. And, of course, a key point now is the Democrat nominee, based on what we have now, will be Joe Biden. Now, later in the hour, we're going to be joined by Dr. Gerard DeLamero, and he's got a new model forecast out between the contenders going into November. I'll be very interested in what he's found. But at this point, and he has said he doesn't really think Biden's going to end up carrying the nomination. At this point, it is Biden against Trump. And he got a very lukewarm endorsement from former President Obama the other day. I mean lukewarm. Almost to the point where you ever take a sip of coffee and you expect it to be nice and steaming and hot, and it's just, you spit it out. Man, that's not what I expected. So Obama had to spit out his remarks the other day to endorse Joe. And here comes Hillary. She was appearing with Joe Biden last night at a virtual town hall. The idea was to focus on the pandemic. And Clinton, of course, using the opportunity to add, I'm going to endorse Joe Biden because he's prepared, spent his life getting ready for it. They did talk during this virtual town hall. They did talk about abuse against women and the spike in domestic violence as many women are trapped at home with their abusers right now because of coronavirus. Police have been reporting an uptick in domestic violence, partly because I can't stand to be with her that much more. Or she says, I'm done with the guy. And he can't go to work, there's no job, and you guys won't let him go out in the park. I mean, it goes both ways. And there's been abuse. And that's not a funny part. There's no doubt been some abuse in some households, and sometimes maybe the children are also, because of the restraints and the pressure and feeling out of control, no money, no job, it weighs on people differently than it does on others. You can't really pass judgment on them. You're not in their shoes. But for the most part, Americans are going forward. But they decided last night in this virtual town hall to talk about the spike in domestic violence against women. And Biden insisted reducing violence against women was, quote, the leading cause of my life, and encouraged victims to call, text, or message the National Domestic Violence Hotline. But again, his statement, protecting women against violence has been the leading cause of my life. And there's a woman, a former staffer for Joe Biden, by the name of Tara Reid, who has come forward and said in 93, Joe Biden, the man who says I am against abusing women, shoved her against a wall, stuck his hand down her pants, and inserted his hand, penetrating her. And the Democrats are just ignoring it or just denouncing it. We played a few clips previously in the earlier hour of Stacey Abrams of Georgia, who ran for governor and lost, and now some are saying she should be on the ticket with Joe Biden. Well, of course, she's got to make sure that that's a possibility. I want to make sure I protect that. For that reason, and or the fact that they're just going to take the progressive line, don't believe the woman if she's attacking a progressive male. But Abrams is echoing what many Democrats are, and that is the Tara Reid's allegations, they don't stand up. What is credible is Joe Biden's response. Stacey Abrams.
I believe that women deserve to be heard, and I believe that they need to be listened to. But I also believe that those allegations have to be investigated by credible sources. The New York Times did a deep investigation, and they found that the accusation was not credible. I believe Joe Biden. I believe that he is a person who has demonstrated that his love of family, his love of our community, has been made perfectly clear through his work as a congressional leader and as an American leader. I know Joe Biden, and I think that he is telling the truth and that this did not happen.
And why? Well, because of the investigation that's been done. Well, wait a minute. What investigation? She's filed criminal charges, but nothing's been done on that yet as far as truly investigating. And we're going back to 93, which might hurt her story except for one thing that did happen. But BuzzFeed is claiming that the New York Times, quote, investigation was basically messaging the New York Times what they should say. Telling the New York Times, take the lines from the Biden campaign and insert them in your article. Denial, and there's nothing there. And suggesting that the New York Times is not interested in the truth, just interested in duplicating, restating Joe Biden's denial. But Stacey Abrams says, well, that's an investigation. I buy that. The cover-up continues. The cover-up continues, and the mainstream media is complicit when it comes to something like that. Now, of course, you have to believe that the BuzzFeed allegations are correct, that these stories and the storyline have been fed to the New York Times by Biden campaign. I tend to believe it. And we do know there'd been a tweet at one point the New York Times had put out that kind of kept it open about Biden and any allegations, and then they ended up wiping that tweet out and were told, well, their answer was that it did not really reflect the truth. It suggested he might have other allegations against him. And again, the story came out that, yeah, and you came to that conclusion how? Because the Biden campaign said that looks damaging. But Tara Reid's allegations stand. And it's her word against Joe Biden's word at this point. I will insist all the time that you can't convict someone on that, even if it were my daughter. Being a father, I'm probably going to support her and believe her. But that doesn't mean she's right. For the facts, anyway. Tara Reid says when this happened, she said, I remember wanting to say stop, but I don't know if I said it out loud or if I just thought it. I was kind of frozen. She said she didn't move away, and he responded, come on, man, I heard you liked me. And, of course, the attacks and the hounds of the left are chasing Tara Reid down, nipping at her constantly. And then this little piece that happened and surfaced that added some credibility to her story, the cover-up continued there as well. We're talking about on CNN itself. On the Larry King Show, in 93, after Tara Reid said this incident happened, she apparently told her mother, maybe another relative, maybe a friend, a neighbor, but did not want to go public with it. But during the Larry King Show one night, they were talking about such reporting and violence, and especially if it involves people, men of power or whatever. And Tara Reid's mother, without identifying herself, and certainly not identifying her daughter, called into the Larry King Show.
San Luis Obispo, California. Hello.
Yes, hello. I'm wondering what a staffer would do besides go to the press in Washington. My daughter has just left there after working for a prominent senator and could not get through with her problems at all. And the only thing she could have done was go to the press, and she chose not to do it out of respect for him.
Or she had a story to tell, but out of respect for the person she worked for, she didn't tell it.
And that's the story that happened in 93. Reid has since said, and I believe they began to dig for that file because she had mentioned to a Fox reporter that I remember my mom calling the Larry King Show about it. She said I was angry that she would call, even though my name wasn't mentioned. She was upset with her mother for doing it. Her mother passed away in 2016, so she's not here to add anything to it. But Tara Reid says, that's my mom. I know her voice. That's her. And the timeline is specific and fits the case exactly. But the mainstream media was ignoring the story from Tara Reid as much as they could, especially CNN. And they're the ones who knew it appeared on the Larry King Show, which they had the clip for it. And CNN had posted it on Google Play, which they control. But when they posted it, they didn't realize the value of it. So then they ripped it off. And just now we're seeing CNN acknowledge that it was kind of there. The cover-up continues. They don't want this story to develop anymore. So here we have Hillary Clinton stepping up, knowing the story's in play, knowing the things I just told you, appearing on this program with Joe Biden last night to go ahead and add her endorsement. Reid took to Twitter the other day, referenced Bernie Sanders. Said, many of you that supported different Democrat candidates are struggling right now. I still have to fight my history with Joe Biden, knowing he sexually harassed and assaulted me when I was a staffer in 93. And several Biden supporters are upset that he's not making a point about it either, that he's just basically taken the road that, well, you know, we'll have to see more details. And they're upset because if this had been, the story broke earlier, perhaps it would have made sure Sanders didn't get additional support. And Sanders might actually be the one going to the convention with the most support. But on top of that, Sanders supporters, some of them absolutely livid that Biden's not making a bigger deal out of it. And now here comes Hillary. And Hillary comes right out and says she's going to go with Joe.
I've been not only a colleague of Joe Biden's, I've been a friend. And I can tell you that I wish he were president right now, but I can't wait until he is, if all of us do our part to support the kind of person that we want back in the White House, to end the kind of disregard of not only American values, but American institutions, the rule of law, and so much else that is at stake because of the current occupant.
Of course, we know the remarks about Trump. We know the things he's done and questions. I'm not going to defend any of that, but I'm just sitting here listening to Hillary make those remarks. And I agree with Tara Reid. Hillary, based on this and, of course, your past with Bill, you are an enabler. And Michelle Obama enters the picture. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. redfitnesslounge.com.
I started singing bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Them old boys were drinking whiskey and rye and singing, this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So I want to add my voice to the many who have endorsed you to be our president. Just think of what a difference it would make right now if we had a president who not only listened to the science, put facts over fiction, but brought us together.
There it is again, Hillary Clinton endorsing Joe Biden last night. You know, she said something that I get angry every time I hear progressives talk about science. Believe the science, the facts of the science when it comes to climate disasters and crises. Believe the science when it comes to things we tell you about. Where are they when it comes to the science that an unborn baby's heart beating is not a living thing? Science says, if something has a beating heart, it's a living thing compared to a rock. No. We don't want to talk about that kind of science. So with Biden getting the lukewarm endorsement of Obama the other day, and with Hillary Clinton stepping up now, last night saying the same, there's something else that might still be in play, despite Barack Obama's endorsement. Michelle Obama has just finished up a 34-city book tour on her book, Becoming. Becoming. And she and Barack Obama have a deal with Netflix, a lucrative multi-year production deal with Netflix, where they come up with scripts and movies, and Netflix will help produce them, put them on the air, and everybody's happy. Now, Netflix, in the midst of all of this, as we watch Joe Biden not really looking strong at all, despite the endorsements, comes, as we said earlier, to go back to Gomer Pyle of Andy Griffith Show. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Michelle Obama releases this statement. I'm excited to share that on May 6th, Netflix will release Becoming as a documentary that will share the stories and my book. Netflix just decided, the book sold 10 million copies. It's justification, but the timing and just suddenly deciding, let's roll this thing out. Let's get this thing on the air. They are going to do a Netflix documentary on Michelle Obama. You know, when it comes to Democrats and progressives, I do not believe in coincidences and coinky-dinky. I believe in stage, following the game plan, and if it doesn't work, they've still got more pages in the same book. So Michelle out there peddling in a 34-city tour her book, and it sold a lot, and now Netflix is deciding, you know what, let's do a documentary. Do you think it's by chance at this point in this stage that Netflix is talking about doing that? They don't have a target date for releasing it. But the very fact that they're announcing they'll do a documentary on Michelle Obama? I wonder if that's beginning to shake Joe a bit. Dr. Lamero will join us in the next segment.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
We welcome back Dr. Gerard Lamero, does a lot of model forecasting, especially regarding elections, and very good with him. Dr. Lamero, welcome on board again.
Hi, it's great to be with you.
So we've heard from you numerous times as to your model, as to what you see is going to happen for the 2020 election coming up here in November. We're still waiting to see if they're actually going to have a true convention, either party. I assume will be unwrapped by late July and into August from all the coronavirus. But at this point, are you seeing any change in the winds?
In terms of having the convention or the results?
Both.
Both. Well, I think that the chances are they will have the conventions because they're going to seek to have a lot of press because that helps them. They believe that. And there's a long-standing tradition that there's usually a bump after each convention. They're going to want to get that bump.
Now, to that point, before you break away, on that point, since they did reschedule, they're supposed to have theirs a month earlier. Since they rescheduled, they're the week ahead of the GOP convention. I mean, with their bump, they're going to be going up against the GOP convention opening.
Right, which is very foolish. You shouldn't do it. The history is that you get several percent bump, and it lasts for a while. You don't want to have a bump and then turn around and give the other guy a chance to have a bump. I think that was poor timing on their part. So I do believe that they're going to have it. I also now see, because of the New York State Democratic presidential primary being canceled on Monday of this week, I see now that the convention is going to switch to being a brokered convention. We will not have a winner on the first ballot as a result of the primary that was just canceled, and also subsequent primaries that will also be canceled, most likely.
Well, let's break that down. Let's break that down. Sure. When you say that New York, because they're dropping the primary in New York because of the virus, it's going to ripple effect to the convention and force a brokered convention? Understand the explanation.
Sure. Well, right now, Joe Biden has 1,352 delegates. He needs 1,991. That's the magic number. Bernie Sanders has about 939 delegates, and obviously he's short, but he's a major contender having that many delegates. Well, we have a lot of delegates outstanding. There are a lot of primaries that haven't taken place, and they came up with this reason, well, Sanders dropped out, so why bother? And so, therefore, the 274 delegates that New York would be awarding are not going to be awarded. And they would have gone to Biden because he's the front runner and the only one on the ballot. So all these states that have Biden on it that primaries are canceled, he can't get to the 1,991. That means first ballot, you've got somebody that everybody thinks is going to lose, somebody who has trouble speaking in public, someone who has a hard time putting three sentences together that are coherent, the Democratic Party is going to pick someone else. And the next in line for the nomination, from what all my trends say, is Michelle Obama.
Well, before you joined us, I pointed out that suddenly, surprise, surprise, Netflix, of course, both Obamas are getting money out of Netflix on production deals and so forth. They're suddenly going to do a documentary on her book tour of her new book on Becoming. Just the timing is just unbelievable.
Impeccably good.
Yeah.
just as if you were planning a presidential run. Not only that, right on schedule, all presidential candidates who want to win have to do a book. She did a book at the right time a while back. She was selling, believe it or not, and I noticed this because I'm an author, 3 million books a month. That's more than my sales, let me tell you that. And that's a phenomenal number of books. She is the second most popular Democrat in the Democratic Party. She has the support of people across the party. She is positioned. She's been working on a voter get out the vote campaign for a while. She's doing all the things you need to do. She has the Obama machine, if you want to call it that, all of his supporters and people who helped to get him elected, raring to go.
So with that in mind, just the other day, and it was a very lukewarm endorsement, Barack Obama supported Biden. Did that take the wind out of the sails for Michelle on a run?
Not at all. I mean, he was just doing what every good Democrat does. You support the only one who's left. But that was a placeholder position. I really felt from the get-go that when Biden got ahead and people rallied around him, the Democratic Party was basically building a firewall to prevent Bernie Sanders from getting the nomination and for the Democratic Party to officially become the Socialist Party. Because that's what Bernie Sanders represents. Now, it's true, the Democrats in general are pretty social, socialist in general, their policies they're pushing and that, but nevertheless, they didn't want someone that outwardly supportive of the socialist agenda and communists in general to get the nomination.
All right.
They gave it to Biden to keep Sanders out of the race.
All right, I want to summarize a couple of your major points here, other than Michelle Obama and Biden being a placeholder for Michelle, and that's obviously a very critical point, but just to recap for some of the audience, with the New York delegates deciding they're not going to have their primary, those 247 delegates, which are probably going to go to Biden, are not going to be predetermined when they go to the convention. And if other states also have to cancel their party presidential primaries because of coronavirus, that will clearly deny Biden enough delegates to get a win on a first ballot. And you go to the brokered convention, And a lot of Sanders people are upset that they think it got stolen from them last time. They look at this time, and many of them are also upset at Sanders that he's not making more noise over the sex allegations against Biden. You have a free-for-all.
You got it. Now, I just will give you one little modification to what you said so we'll be technically accurate to our audience.
Yes, sir.
And that is the delegates in New York did not make the decision. It's the New York State Board of Elections, which is led by a Democratic co-chair named Douglas Keller, who made the decision, and Andrew Cuomo didn't override it. He said, I think the board can make their own decisions. So we have Andrew Cuomo sort of endorsing the fact that Biden isn't going to get those delegates, which may mean he would like to be in the fray and be part of the brokered convention.
And do you think Cuomo could come out of that convention carrying the banner?
He's got a lot of problems that work against him that will be very difficult for him to get the nomination.
So you would absolutely...
Michelle Obama.
Yeah,
so go ahead.
You would be absolutely surprised if Biden ends up carrying the Democrat flag into the general election.
That's right. Right now, I thought he would, because I didn't think the primaries were going to be canceled, but the dynamics, the rules have changed, so we have to change the forecast and upgrade it to the latest information we have available. And right now it looks like it's going to be a brokered convention like we haven't seen in decades. It's going to be fascinating.
Well, it's going to be fun for political junkies like me. And of course, that was when we used to have wall-to-wall coverage of conventions, and maybe they will on this one, I don't know, but to win, you have to have 270 electoral votes. We're talking about once the general election is held. You have to have 270 electoral votes. And what's your breakout right now with Trump and Michelle?
Well, right now, President Trump has dropped slightly. There's a couple of reasons in there that we have to go into. But he's got 348 electoral votes, and Michelle Obama has 190 electoral votes. This is not a poll. This is a forecast of all the trends that will come together on November 3rd.
348 for Trump, 190 for Michelle. And you mentioned how he's dropped off from previous, I assume, the virus and the economic upheaval and folks getting antsy and upset about being restrained or affecting.
Well, there are different factors. For example, the rules of how the election will be held have changed in Virginia, moving it where it looked like Trump was going to carry it a few months ago. It now looks like it's going to go Democratic, regardless of who runs.
The other
example of what's going on.
Right.
A lot of things are happening. You have to look. I look, in contrast to the polls that generally do national polls, I look at each state and try to determine who's going to win the state, because that's how you win the Electoral College. You win it state by state.
And you're also saying the Senate will retain control and the House of Representatives?
The House of Representatives will flip. Trump is going to push hard, and there are a lot of vulnerable Democrats in there. They have not done a good job. People are angry with the Democratic control and the kind of antics that have been played against Trump. And plenty of Trump districts are going to flip from Democratic control to essentially, whoever Trump wants, whoever he endorses, will get elected. And it'll be a Republican House.
All right. Dr. Lamero is the author of the book Real World Socialism, and it'd be good for any high school, college students dealing with Marxist socialist teachers and professors. Dr. Lamero, as always, we appreciate you joining us. And I'm very interested and intrigued by your thoughts about it. It'll be a brokered convention, and Michelle Obama will end up being the Democrat flag bearer. I do appreciate you joining us again.
You bet. I enjoyed it, too. Buy a lot of popcorn for the Democratic Convention. It should be fun.
Good point. All right. Thank you, Dr. Gerard Lamero. His forecast model's right on target on the election with Trump against Hillary. I mean, he called it. He called it in January of that year, and I couldn't concede that he was right until August after the Republican primary. Take a break. When we come back, I want to share an article, a column that really points out as to how we're handling things versus our parents and grandparents.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Change, change, change. Change, change, change. Change, change, change. Change, change, change. Change, change, change.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
There are folks I see on the Facebook, or you'll see comments here and there, not only in the local area but beyond, just fed up with being restrained, contained, not getting to do what they want, anxious to do it, get out and do something different. Kids even saying, I want to go back to school. Now, there's your proof right there. Change is coming, or they want it anyway. But I do remember as we were originally looking at this basic self-quarantine for a minimum time and now it being expanded, the bottom line was, hey, your parents and grandparents were asked to go off to war. Or you're just asked to sit home and watch TV. So there's a big difference. And there are people suffering right now. There's no doubt about it. There are families that are suffering and company or small business owners that are suffering and may not be able to reopen their business even if they had the money today. And then, of course, when they do, are they going to have the influx of customers again, like restaurants, or it's going to be so sparsely contained as to how many they can let in, and then the folks are afraid to come in. There's a lot of emotion built up and a lot of uncertainty. It's understandable. Cal Thomas, as a PC wrote, called the generation that faced hunger, polio, and war would be ashamed. Cal's a syndicated columnist. I was in Houston working for an opposing station the same time he was also in Houston. I may have to try to book him for a future interview, but this column, I want to share this with you. Part of it points out between 1931 and 40, the unemployment rate during the Great Depression rose to above 14%. One out of four Americans out of work. As he said, we're not at that level yet, but the number of filing for unemployment going up, 26 million, and it could get worse yet. The Congressional Budget Office had forecast an unemployment rate for us at 16% by September. That would be above what we saw during the 1931 to 40. We have a larger population, more jobs being lost, he points out. And he adds in this comment, he said, some of us complain about having to line up to get into supermarkets, wear masks, or practice social distancing. Those earlier generations had ration books and did without a lot of food and conveniences they once enjoyed. And they endured it for 15 years, from 1930, when the Great Depression began to really grip the country, to VJ Day in 1945. And some experienced hard times for several years after the war ended. I'm sure you know that. I'm sure you know it from either your parents or grandparents or what they were dealing with at that time. They, in often cases, they had little, if anything. And some will tell you, well, we didn't really know we were poor, because everyone else around us was in the same situation. Cal continues his article saying it's part of this complaining, I think, is that those who have benefited from their sacrifices have never had to experience what they did. That was one of the motivations behind their doing without, wasn't it? In order that their children and grandchildren wouldn't have to. You know, as a child, you don't think about, and I'm talking off from his column here, you don't think about sacrifices your parents are making at the time. You know, all you know is that they couldn't give you money to go to the movie or something. Or, you know, they helped you get a car, but you got to put gas in. They're not going to give you gas money unless you're doing work. They're not going to just pay you for chores around the house, or maybe they will, maybe they won't. And you begin to kind of learn budgeting on your own, hopefully. And then you grow up and you become a parent, and you're trying to do things, and you come home from work, and your kids are all excited to see you, and you hug them and everything, and when they go to bed that night, you're still awake because things are going upside down at work. You don't know if you're going to have the job tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen next. We all go through that. On Cal's article, his commentary, I should say, he said, never having been required to sacrifice for anything and told we should always expect more and better of everything, we feel our right of entitlement has been unfairly stolen from us, not knowing what sacrifice looks like. And then he adds this. Our previous generations dealt with smallpox and polio, Did they read in their papers, hear it on radio, people saying America would never be the same again? No. They heard Franklin Roosevelt say, the only thing we had to fear is fear itself. And Winston Churchill telling the British people, never give in, never give in, never, 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 in nothing great or small, large or petty, never give in, except in convictions of honor and good sense. Then Cal adds these words. President Donald Trump is trying optimism, saying America will come back stronger than before the pandemic. But he's being drowned out by voices of pessimism, defeatism that would be foreign to these previous generations. He's right. They faced hunger, polio, and war. We have a situation we're having to deal with. And there will be some that want to do it differently, and some are getting worried about personal rights. I understand. But sometimes it does well to put things into context. And I think that's what he did with that commentary. So earlier we did post a phone number you can call in. We haven't been doing that, have not been allowing phone calls. I tell you what, starting tomorrow we'll try to carve out a section for phone calls only. So be ready tomorrow if you want to join in on that. And, of course, otherwise, we will be back tomorrow. Book it.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.